Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the third and fourth Mishnah of the fifth parak of Vav Mitzvah for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. Now, at face value, the Mishnah says the following case is forbidden. Macher lo et hasadeh, somebody was selling a field, v'natan lo miksat damim, and the purchaser said, you know, I can only pay you, I don't know, 10% of the total cost. V'amar lo imatai shetirtzeh, so you know what, whatever you want, havai ma'ot, bring the rest of the money. V'tol ha'chokhan, as soon as you bring the money, the field is yours. And the Gemara will stipulate that means that the purchase had to have been retroactive then, the field becomes his retroactively from the minute they first gave down the down payments. So the Mishnah says asur, this is forbidden. And the Gemara explains, obviously, that this can't be forbidden. There's nothing wrong with selling something to somebody and they don't have all the money right away, so you take the rest of the money later. There's nothing wrong with that. What the Gemara explains four possible cases. We'll stick with the most the straightforward one, which will explain this Mishnah. Feel free to look in the Gemara for all the complicated cases. But here what's going on is not that it's forbidden to make the transaction, but it's forbidden for any of the parties, whether it's the purchaser or the seller, to eat from the fruit of the field. And what you have to do is put the fruit of the field into escrow. And the reason why that is true is as follows. If the person, in the end, pays the rest of the money, and retroactively the field was his from the very beginning of the sale, that means that the seller has been eating from the fruits of the property. If the seller eats from the fruits of the property, that will mean he's been eating from the fruits of the property of a loan of the money that the guy said, listen, I'll take your $100 now, you'll pay me the $900 later, and then the field becomes yours. So what that means is during that period of time when the guy had not yet paid him $900, that means he was loaning him, the seller was loaning the buyer $900. So if the seller was eating the fruit at that time because the field actually hadn't been transferred over because the person hadn't paid the rest of the money, so retroactively, since the field will have become the purchaser's at the point of sale, at the very beginning, that means that the seller has been eating the fruit for the benefit of the $900 of loan that he gave him time to pay back. And the other way, the problem is, so you say, well, wait a second, so fine, so let the purchaser eat the fruit of the field, but you can't do that either. Why? Because if the purchaser does not make the payment, that means the field was never his, and essentially he loaned the seller money. How did he loan the seller money? He loaned the seller the $100, the small bit of money that he put down as a down payment. When the down payment fails, because the purchaser can purchase the money, so it turns out that money down wasn't actually a down payment, it was a loan to the potential seller. The seller sure has to give it back now, but for 2 months, for 5 months, for 6 months, the seller had that money, could have used that money. That's a classic loan. So therefore, had the purchaser been eating from the fruits of the field, that means that he would have been taking advantage of the loan that he made to the potential seller. So the seller can't eat fruit of the fields just in case the purchaser actually pays up the money. The purchaser can't eat the fruits of the fields just in case the purchaser doesn't make the money and the land goes back or never was his ever, went back to the seller. Therefore, nobody can eat the fruits because either way it looks like you're taking advantage or eating fruits based on a loan. And therefore, you can make the transaction, but all of the food has to go into escrow. And then at the end, you figure out based on if the sale was made, the profits go to, the fruits of the field go to the purchaser. And if the sale is never made because the purchaser can't come up with the money, then the fruits, the escrow goes to the seller. The Mishnah mentions more complicated cases where they could both eat from it, where only one could eat from it, where others, based on the way that the transaction was stipulated, but we'll just stick for that for now. The next case of the Mishnah deals with a loan which has property as collateral. Hilveyu al sadehu, v'amar lo im I atano teini mikava shalosh shanim hare elu shalo, hare hi shalo. So somebody loans somebody's money. The borrower puts up his field as collateral. The lender says, so if you don't pay me back in 3 years, the field is mine. So that's okay, the field is his. And once again, here the issue is the fruit of the land. You could put up whatever you want for collateral, but the problem is what do you do with the fruit? A person can make whatever deal he wants, but if a borrower makes good his payments, and the lender has been eating from the fruit of the land, then it looks like the lender has been taking advantage of the loan that he made to the borrower. And if the borrower eats his own property, that's no good. Why? Because if he defaults, and in this case the Mishnah says that the land became retroactively the lenders from the beginning. So once again, in this case, the borrower takes advantage of property that ultimately will belong to the seller, to the loaner who took the guy's property because the guy defaulted on his loan. So again, the fruit go into escrow in this case, and you wait until the end to figure out whose fruit it actually is. B'kachaya baitus ben zonin osa al pi chachamim. So baitus ben zonin seems to be a person. I guess it could be a group of people. But they used to do this kind of tricky transaction based on the rabbinic ruling that such a thing was acceptable. Continuing on with Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Dalet continues with rabbinic prohibitions of interest because it appears, or really is, that one is taking non-financial favors for a loan that he made. Ein moshivim chenvani l'machatzit tzchar v'lo yitein ma'ot likach mahem perot l'machatzit tzchar. So you're not allowed to give somebody your wholesale goods, that is, to take your wholesale produce and give it to somebody to sell at retail value. Now, there's going to be a split between the wholesale price and the retail price. Let's say, for instance, you bought the items at $50 for wholesale, and you can sell it for $100 at retail. So what you do is you tell the guy to sell it for the $100 at retail, and you split the profit, which would be the other $50, down the middle. The shopkeeper gets 25, and you get 25. So the question is, why can't, and not only that, in addition to that, you can't give somebody $100 and say, buy $100 worth of produce, sell it at $200, and then we'll split the profits down the middle. And this is because, essentially, the shopkeeper is taking a loan from the investor. The shopkeeper doesn't have the produce or the cash himself. So he takes the produce from the investor or the cash from the investor, and he does two things with it. Half of it is going to wind up being his because he'll take the profits from it, which means it's a loan. The other half he's going to give back to the shopkeeper, and he has to take care of it. He has to give it back to the wholesaler, to the investor, and he has to take care of it because if something bad happens, he's going to be responsible to pay back the investor for the loss. If they rot or whatever it is, he's going to have to take the loss. So essentially, for the loan of the 50%, he's doing a service of taking care of the other 50%, and that is not okay. That means he's getting the investor who's giving the shopkeeper the loan of the items is taking unfair advantage of him in that he's getting the shopkeeper to take care of the stuff for the sake of the loan that he's giving him. However, Elaim Kein Notein Lo Scharo Kipoel. Now, if they're not splitting the profits, which means there's no loan here, there's all deposit, it's 100% deposit, and the guy's not doing him a favor of watching over, the shopkeeper's not doing him a favor by watching over his deposit and selling his deposit at an increase because he is going to take half of the items they really belong to him on a loan, but because he's being paid as a shopkeeper. Scharo kifal. He's a worker. So he's allowed to take 50% of the profit, not because the 50% really belonged to him in the first place on loan, but because he was working as a shopkeeper and he gets cash payment for doing good work. In that case, it's perfectly fine. Similarly, ein moshivim tarnagolim lemechza, ve'ein samim agalim v'shusiachim lemechza, elim kein notin lo schar amalo umizono. So you're not allowed to give somebody your chickens with their eggs, nor your calves, nor your baby donkeys, in order that the person, another person, let's say an expert farmer, raises these items, hatches the eggs, makes the baby donkeys grow into very, very profitable donkeys, on the condition that you split the profits 50% of the difference between what the animals were worth before at the point where they were given to this animal expert and the time when the animal expert is able to raise them and make a profit on them and sell them. And again, that's because if they're splitting the profits down the middle, that means that the guy who's watching over the animals is really who doesn't have the animals himself, he's just very good at taking care of them, is taking a loan from the person who does own the animals. And what is he doing with that? Because he's going to wind up earning that money back plus the profits. But during that period of time, he's taking care of the other guy's stuff that he's going to be giving back to the other guy, which means he's doing him a favor of raising his livestock for a loan that he's getting from the livestock owner in order that they both make a profit. That's not okay. Once again, however, if you have schar malo, if the guy's not taking any profits because he's taking a loan of the items and then he's splitting the the proceeds. But all of the cows, donkeys, chickens, they all belong to the investor, they're all going back to the investor, and it just happens to be that the wages that the person gets for taking care of that guy's animals and raising them to a profit is going to be 50% of the profit. That's okay, because there's no loan and he never had an idea that the animals, half of the animals would actually belong to him. Although here there's something else. Besides Carmelo, there's also Mizono. That is, the person can't be put, the person who's the husbandry guy cannot be putting out his own money for feed. The owner of the animals has to supply the feed as well. Aval mekablim agalim usiachim lemechza umegadlin oto ashiu mishulashim. But you are allowed to take calves, and you're allowed to take little baby donkeys and split the profits, and that's only under the following condition, where you don't stipulate the price of what they are, which means that you're not saying, oh, I'm going to raise your cows, which are worth $100,000, and I'm going to turn them into $120,000, and we'll split the cost. No, but you can say, listen, you give me your cows. You want to give me your cows, give me your cows, and I'll take care of them. And I will definitely give you a profit, but I am not responsible. I'm not saying how much these guys are worth. I don't care how much they're worth. I just care, you know, you decide later what you paid for them, and then when I give you back the profits, you can pay me out of the difference between what they were originally worth and what they later became worth, but I have no responsibility whatsoever. And since I'm not taking any responsibility, and I'm not estimating any kind of price, I could raise your animals perfectly fine and give them back, and you could pay me whatever profit you want, because ultimately I am not responsible and you're not getting any favors out of me. I'm just doing good work and you're paying for me. Interestingly enough, it mentions that it gives a real case where the agalim would be raised until 3 years old. Mishulashin probably means 3 years old, or maybe third generation, but I think 3 years old. And the chamor until it could actually bear a burden, which means it turns from a baby, useless donkey to a very functional, a baggage-carrying donkey. These are only just, there's no halachic significance here. It's just the Mishnah is giving a case of how long a guy would want to take somebody's goods, and just a practical example, until those livestock actually become usable. I guess if there was a market for very aged and worthless chamorim, you could hold on to the chamor for 20 years as well, but here it just gives a more reasonable example.